Fab Lab Podcast, Episode 14, Three Tools to Ensure Financial Health.
Welcome to the Fab Lab Podcast, brought to you by FabricatorsFriend.com. If you own or manage a stone shop and would like to reduce your frustration while increasing your profits, you've come to the right place. As the owner of a prominent Pacific Northwest stone shop with over two decades of experience and the author of the book Less Chaos, More Cash, our host knows more than just a little bit about the challenges of owning and operating a shop. You'll hear down-to-earth, real-life solutions you can implement today to calm your shop operation and generate more profit. Thanks for joining us, and here's our host, Aaron Crowley.
Welcome back to the Fab Lab Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Crowley, and as always, I am so excited that you've joined me for this 14th episode of the Fab Lab Podcast, brought to you, as always, by FabricatorsFriend.com. And in today's episode, we're going to complete this short series on finances and financial aspects of stone fabricating. In episode 12, we talked about scheduling dollars, not square feet. In episode 13, we talked about budgets beating the feast or famine cycle. And in today's episode, we're going to look at the three tools that ensure financial health. We're going to look at budgets, we're going to look at financials and financial statements and accounting systems. But before we do, I want to remind you that next Tuesday, episode 15, is the podcast where I interviewed Eric Rolseth of Philichip. He's a stone fabricator out of Rogers, Minnesota. He's also a board member of the Stone Fabricators Alliance, and he developed this kit for helping us as fabricators fix chips and blemishes in the surface and the edges of our countertops so we don't have to replace them. He tells us the story about how he developed it and how he launched the business and how it can help you. I think it'll be an inspiration in the event that you've got solutions that you've created for your own business. It's possible that you could take that idea, that solution, and make it available to other fabricators and turn it into another company. The other reminder I want to mention to you is that next Wednesday, July 4th, a week and a day from today, we are launching and making available our free retail sales course. We've put together three short videos that we're making available on FabricatorsFriend.com to help you see the golden and hidden opportunity that retail sales offers fabricators to increase margins and increase profitability. So make sure you check in next Wednesday, July 4th. You can download those three videos, watch them, and hopefully put that information to use in your business to make it more profitable. Now to today's topic. Three tools to ensure financial health. We're going to look at budgets, financial statements, and accounting systems. Now, if you haven't listened to the last two episodes, episode 12 and episode 13, where we discuss scheduling dollars, not square feet, the daily dollar demand and contribution dollars, and then in episode 13, how budgets beat the feast or famine cycle, I'd recommend you go back and listen to those real quick before we delve into this episode. You can have a little bit better understanding of the phrases that I am referring to. So now let's get into this. Budgets and budget forecasts. Budgets are simply the goal. It's the financial model that we are pursuing. In a sense, it is a picture in advance on paper or usually on screen these days of how we will be profitable in a given month. It really follows the format of a profit and loss statement or an income statement, and that we are forecasting the dollars that we intend to generate by fabricating and installing countertops. For our budgets, we use the contribution dollars, the sales minus the cost of the material for our forecast. And then we forecast and show the expenses that we are likely to incur while generating those contribution dollars. So like I said, a budget or a budget forecast really follows the exact same template or format that a profit and loss statement follows or that an income statement follows. That's a financial statement. We're going to get to that in the next part. But it really looks like this. At the top, you've got your sales. Right below your sales, you've got your cost of goods sold. That is going to be the material, the slabs, your production and install labor, your fuel, your sales commission, expenses that are going to rise and fall based on your sales rising and falling. A lot of times those are referred to as variable costs. Now, when you take your sales and subtract your cost of goods sold, you get what's called gross profit. Out of gross profit, you subtract your fixed costs. Those are the costs that aren't going to change based on the fluctuation of your sales from month to month. That's your office staff. That's your management staff. That's your own salary, your rent, your insurance, your utilities. Those are those fixed costs. Oftentimes, that's how they're referred to. So when you take your fixed costs and subtract those from your gross profit, you get your net income or your net profit. Hence the term income statement or profit and loss statement, or most commonly referred to as a P&L. So the forecast basically is showing what you intend to do in the future. It is a document you create anticipating what those sales and expenses are going to be. A financial statement is really an accounting of what did actually occur. And the benefit to doing budgets is that you can upload those to your accounting software, your accounting systems, which we're going to get to in part three, and you can create what's called budget to actual reports. You create the budget, you say, this is what I intend to do. And then once the month is over and all the sales and expenses are accounted for, you close the books, you create what's called the actual profit and loss statement, and then you compare the two. You can see the variance. You can see where you are off on your sales or maybe off on your expenses. Then you can make those objective decisions. You can be disciplined in how you make those decisions financially in the ensuing months. So now let's get into the actual financial statements. We've talked about the budget and the budget forecast. That's what you intend to do. Now the financial statements that tell you what you actually did. So there's really three different statements that are most commonly used in small business, quite frankly, in any business for that matter. And they really are the product. That's the end result of accounting. It is to take a period of time where the business operated and to give a financial result of that activity. What did the company produce in financial terms during that period of time? And here are the three statements. You've got your profit and loss, or your income statement, which we just talked about. You've got your balance sheet, and then you've got your statement of cash flows. So again, the profit and loss or the income statement, same format as the budget. Sales at the top, cost of goods sold, you subtract that, you get your gross profit. Gross profit, you subtract your fixed costs, your expenses. Then you get your net profit or your net loss. Hopefully, if you are managing your finances, if you are referring to your daily dollar demand and scheduling accordingly, if you're using forecasts so you can keep good control of your costs and your expenses, at the end of the month, you'll have a profit. If you're just flying by the seat of the pants, pretty good chance you'll have a net loss and you may not even realize it. So then you've got the balance sheet. The balance sheet is a completely separate document, a completely separate financial statement. This shows your assets and your liabilities and the equity, in a sense, the net value of the business. At the top of the balance sheet, you've got your assets. You've got items such as the cash in the bank. You've got your accounts receivable, which is the money your customers owe you but haven't yet paid you. You've got your inventory, slabs, maybe sinks and faucets and that kind of thing. Below that, you've got your liabilities. That's the money you owe other people. That's the payables on your material bill. That is the payables on your tooling distributor that shows up every week with a van full of cool tools, drops them off with the expectation that you're going to pay him. As you're keeping track of that in your accounting software, the program is creating a report to show you where you stand at the end of every period, at the end of every month or every quarter. You can see how many tools or slabs were delivered and how many of those tool and slab bills you still have yet to pay. Now, the third financial statement is the statement of cash flow. If you are using financial statements, if you are utilizing accounting software, you have somebody who is inputting that data and keeping track of it, and you're producing financial statements, you're probably on an accrual basis, which means you are keeping track based on the sales that you have made and the expenses that you have incurred. But that does not necessarily mean that any money has changed hands. Yes, you've put the job in. Yes, you've billed for it. And so that, in a sense, is a sale in that period. But if you haven't been paid yet, the cash hasn't wound up in your checking account. So at the end of the month, you can see a profit and loss statement that says, hey, we made $20,000 this month. And you look in your checking account and you go, then why isn't there $20,000 in the checking account? That has been an elusive concept for me. I'll admit, even after 20 years, the relationship and the difference between profit and cash are very different things. That's the value of the statement of cash flows. It tells you where the cash has gone over the course of that same period. So now that we've talked about financial statements, the profit and loss, the balance sheet, and the statement of cash flows, now we need to talk about the actual accounting systems. Now, when I refer to accounting systems, what I really mean is accounting programs, the software that allows us to do accounting for our companies. Now, instead of getting fixated on the software itself, I want to focus on the individual or individuals who's actually going to manage that software, because it is critical. The reality is you're most likely going to have to go to some degree outside of your company to get help, to get consulting, to get advice, to get training on how to fully utilize that software. But here's the story. Years ago, I had a business relationship with another company in a related field to slab countertops, and they were a huge company, had about 100 employees. They had somebody that managed their accounting software for them. That person moved on. They hired a replacement, and they were so excited about this new individual and the great job that they were doing. They thought they were making all kinds of money. Their financial statements were telling them that they were wildly profitable. And then the bomb went off. Turns out this individual really didn't know or really wasn't qualified to do the financial accounting software for a company of their size. Turns out instead of making a bunch of money, they had lost about $150,000 in that year. It nearly sunk them. They barely recovered. I've got another story, a similar story. I was in a business owners group a number of years ago. Once a month, business owners, we'd all meet in a room. We'd spend all day together talking about our companies. Once a year, we all had to give an accounting of our business. We actually shared the financial statements of our companies. And one month, a gentleman came. I won't tell you the business he was in. I definitely won't tell you his name. But he came and presented to us. His company had made $450,000 in net income. I mean, the rest of us sitting around the table, our eyeballs got huge, our mouths dropped open, and we went, holy cow, that is a lot of money. We couldn't believe it. How is this guy making 450 grand? He was pumped. He was so excited. And I don't know if it was the next month or the month after that, he never came back again. Turns out, same problem. He hadn't made $450,000 in the previous year. He'd lost $150,000. That's a $600,000 swing, and it sunk him. Not only was he out of the group, he was out of business and looking for a job. The point is, the individual or the company or the service that you hire to help you integrate, to help you utilize the financial software, the accounting software that you need to produce those financial statements, it is so important that you find a highly qualified, highly respected individual or company with a lengthy, ongoing track record of providing that service for other companies and other clients that you can investigate, that you can be absolutely sure. I hope I'm not scaring you away from having somebody do financial statements for you. That's not the goal here. The goal is to just make you aware of how important it is to not go find that. Don't hire your brother-in-law who says, oh yeah, I can do that on the side. Don't hire some employee in the office says, oh, I can take care of that too. I can figure out QuickBooks. I'll buy a QuickBooks for Dummies book and figure this out as we go. It's really, really, really important. If you are going to make business decisions that affect the future of your company off of financial statements, it is essential that it's being produced correctly and that you can rely on that information. Well, that just about wraps up this episode of the Fab Lab podcast, the three tools for ensuring financial health. We've talked about budgets and budget forecasts. We've talked about financial statements and accounting systems and software, and more specifically, the importance of finding somebody who is qualified to operate that accounting software. So that just about does it. That ends this podcast, and it really ends this short series that we've done, this three-part series on financial fundamentals for fabricators. Remember, in episode 12, we talked about scheduling dollars, not square feet, the daily dollar demand and contribution dollars. Episode 13, we talked about budgets beating the feast or famine cycle, and you know what we talked about in this episode. So that just about wraps it up. Thanks again for joining me on the Fab Lab podcast. I want to remind you to visit fabricatorsfriend.com to check out our awesome line of custom fabrication gear, our stone sleeves, our bulletproof aprons, and our fab coat. I also want to recommend that you subscribe to this podcast and share it with other fabricators who might find this information useful. Lastly, I want to encourage you to check out our YouTube channel. We've now got profit pointer videos being posted every Thursday, and you can subscribe to that and get those notifications in your inbox. So until next week, happy fabricating.